Hello and welcome to Unusual Sources on CFMU 93.3. We're here today with myself, Peter Leibovich, and Brendan Stone. And today we have a very up-to-date program with, of course, with what's the biggest item in the news, which is the attack on Gaza by the Israeli armed forces. Because of the nature of the situation and the fact that so many people have been killed and wounded and made homeless, we decided on this program that we wanted to highlight the suffering of what was to the people of Gaza. So we invited to our program today Dr. Yasser Hadara, who's a professor of engineering at McMaster and director of Islamic Relief, along with the executive, he's on the board of directors of Islamic Relief, along with the executive director of Islamic Relief, Shayla Kipria. They are also trying to help us get in touch with a staffer of Islamic Relief who's on the ground in Gaza, and it's midnight in Gaza. And we've been trying to get through to Hatam Shurab. And as soon as we get through to him, we'll move the program over to there. But for the time being, I would like to introduce Dr. Yasser Hadara and Shayla Kipria to the program.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, thank you for coming. I realize it's an extremely busy days for the Islamic Relief. Can you give just a general background of what Islamic Relief does?
Well, Islamic Relief is really a network of charities throughout the world. There is a Islamic Relief Worldwide, which is headquartered in Birmingham, UK. We're Islamic Relief Canada, which is an independent NGO registered here in Canada. It's a Canadian charity. And we partner with IRW, Islamic Relief Worldwide, and with Islamic Relief partners in other countries around the world in order to try and bring the much-needed help to needy and suffering individuals around the world wherever the need arises. Right now, obviously, as you've mentioned, there's a lot of focus. The whole world is focused on Gaza, but Islamic Relief operates in about 37 countries around the world. And continues to try and alleviate their need and their suffering.
And it's obviously a registered charity here in Canada with tax deductions and everything.
Right. Islamic Relief Canada is a registered charity in Canada. We've been in operation for more than 2 years now. Islamic Relief as a family, Islamic Relief Worldwide, has been around for 24 years and have been able to leverage this really human partnership in countries around the world so that people that have more, that have wealth and ability can provide help for those that have been deprived of the wealth and the ability.
Now, in talking about the situation that is occurring right now, I think most people are aware now that there's 1.5 million people live in the most densely populated area in the world.
Yes.
And there's a full-scale assault on the Gaza. In terms of concentrating on, in terms of the civilian population, what are you hearing that's happening to civilian population, and what kind of relief, or what do they need immediately?
Well, they need medical supplies, they need shelter, and they need food. You're talking, as you said, about 1.5 million civilians that cannot go anywhere. It's important, I think, for people to appreciate that this is an important difference between this conflict and other conflicts, is that there is no outpouring of civilian refugees escaping from the areas where there is fighting, because they cannot escape from these areas. They are locked in Gaza. They cannot leave this strip, which is about 360 square kilometers in area, and they have to continue to suffer the bombardment and the injuries, and they have lost their homes. They are in bad need. Hospitals are in bad need of equipment, medical supplies, first aid kits, hygienic kits, food kits for families, and shelter.
Well, you know, now that you've sort of laid out the background of what's needed, we now, Brendan has just informed me that we have Hatam Shurab on the line in Gaza. So, yes, we'll just have a moment of patience while we get this live connection. It's midnight in Gaza. I'm hoping that it's quiet, but I on the way here, I heard that the battle's still going on. Hello, Hatam.
Yes. No. Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, Atim.
Yes, I can hear you now. Hello, yes, hi.
Oh, now I can hear you. This is Atim Shura, a staff for the Islamic Relief in Gaza. It's midnight in Gaza. Is it, Atim?
Yes.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us.
You're welcome.
We're here in Hamilton. Most of the reports that we get obviously comes from the Western press, who are not allowed in Gaza. So we are hoping that you could give us an idea of what's happening on the ground to the civilian population in Gaza.
Yes, actually the situation is getting worse and worse day by day, affecting more civilians. In fact, people are really tired of what's going on. When I go to the field and meet people, especially the displaced whose homes were destroyed, the people, women in the streets are really crying. You can't see even one smile on any face. It is a difficult situation to describe, but there are a lot of families who lost their children, who lost their members of their families. And the problem that we don't know what is the target, what is the next target. There are homes, mosques are being targeted, and also security locations here in Gaza. And the Gaza Strip is intensely very populated area, and any missile falling on Gaza will cause death among civilians. Unfortunately, the number of civilians who are being killed is increasing day by day, and I met many families. I met yesterday a mother who was really crying because of the death of her son. I couldn't even get information from her because she was not able even to describe her conditions, but it was clear. I heard from a relative of her. She told me that her home was demolished 2 days ago, and when I go to Al-Shifa Hospital, it is the main hospital here in Gaza, you find horrific stories. Everyone here in Gaza has a story now, and all the stories are really are painful stories for everyone. I remember also I saw one mother when she went to the hospital looking for her son. She found him on the ground outside the hospital building. She found him on the ground outside as a dead body, and there was no enough space for his body to be in the hospital because of the huge number of killed and injured people who are taken to the hospital.
Your own personal situation, I know you're delivering relief. Are you in a relatively safe place now during doing this interview?
We try to, my family, we try to choose the safest room, which is the deeper in the home. But you know, there is no safe place in Gaza because there are homes being targeted. So what will be safer than home in Gaza? And you know, there are no shelters. I mean, we don't have Palestinians. Our homes are not designed for wars. So we don't have proper shelters to hide in. So we try to create our own shelter to be gathered in one room, which is in a corner or something. We try to be in safe places. It is difficult. It is difficult even to be in, to consider yourself as you are safe now.
The situation now at midnight, is it relatively quiet, or is the bombing still going on?
No, just 1 minute ago, while I'm talking to you, there was a bomb. There was an explosion. I don't know where, but it is still going on. The warplanes are still going, are still over Gaza. And it is really difficult, especially in the night, and especially for children who can't sleep. It is terrifying us as adults, as old people, if I may say. So imagine how it is affecting children. I know my nephews and nieces. When there is in every explosion, they run to their mother, trying to hug her. In every explosion, so they are very much affected psychologically. And as Islamic Relief Workers, we have been implementing a number of psychosocial programs during the last years. Now, after this these days stop, we have to implement more number of psychosocial support programs, because the impact that these days has left and affected people is very much bad and very much to be alleviated. People really need a lot of support and a lot of help. And if I may tell you something, that when I see people and provide them with assistance, they are you know, very much patient, and they tell us, okay, what you provide us of assistance, of hygiene kits, blankets, or food, is something very much appreciated. But we want, as people, to stop the killing, and we want to go back to our homes and have a peaceful life. This is a very very direct, realistic demand, and they want this because they really don't deserve, because the people don't deserve such conditions. They are very nice people, so why they are being treated in this way, it is difficult for people to have such conditions.
We're speaking to Hatim Shirab, staff for Islamic Relief in Gaza. Right now it's about midnight in Gaza and the war is still going on. Hatim, this afternoon, I guess, or morning, your time, there was the press reported there was a three-hour lull in the fighting where relief was supposed to be allowed to get to the people. What happened those 3 hours? Were you able to get relief to the people, or was just a propaganda play?
In fact, we at Islamic Relief, we worked before these 3 hours because we couldn't wait, you know, along the last days until we find a ceasefire and reach people. But in fact, it is a bit safer to go and provide assistance for people. But the 3 hours ceasefire every day is not enough, because the amount of destruction and the amount of suffering of the people in Gaza needs day, weeks, not only hours, to be able to provide them with assistance and the proper humanitarian assistance. The 3 hours is not enough to work safely, because there are, for example, there are 23 UN shelters to be provided with assistance. During today, we could reach only six shelters to provide people there with hygiene kits and blankets. So imagine, what about the other UN shelters? We couldn't reach them, even if we have more hours. So the 3 hours is a bit safer, but it is not enough. This period is totally not enough to be able to provide people with proper assistance.
Now, you said there's 23 UN shelters. Yesterday, two UN buildings were attacked. those shelters guarantee people are going to be safe, or has there been more attacked?
Actually, people in the UN schools, after hearing the news of other UN schools were targeted, they are very much afraid, and they are really terrified. I met a family, and the father told me that in every when they hear any explosion or when they hear any war plane, they try to hug themselves, the family. They get closer to each other because they feel that it is the last moment for them in their lives. I met a number of people who are displaced. They are from northern Gaza, and they left their place, and they didn't want to go to one of the UN schools because after what they heard of targeting them. So they decided to go to an empty building near the ICRC office in Gaza. When I asked them why you are here, because you were asked to go to UN shelters, they told me, a woman actually told me that the UN shelters are not safe now because during the last day they were targeted by Israeli missiles. So they are afraid to be in UN shelters and decided to be in any other place. They were there was it is the building is a two floor building, and the people who were there, they are nearly 300 people, and such a place is not enough for them, but they prefer it than going to a school which might be a target.
Now, I'm in the station here with Dr. Yasser Hadira and Shaila Kipria from the Ontario Islamic Relief, and they're going to talk a little bit after you're off the air about what is needed to help. In your opinion, I mean, in your words and from what you're seeing, if you, talking to people in Canada and here in Hamilton, Ontario, what can we do here to help as quickly as possible?
Yeah, you know, the first thing is prayers. People here, they want people to pray for them. But there is something important also, the your donations, the people's donations is very important. I want to tell them that don't worry, the donations are coming together. We have an appeal. Islamic Relief started an appeal for last week, and it was for $3 million appeal. And alhamdulillah, thankfully, that we have this money, and it is started. And we in Gaza office we started to get this money, and purchased the assistance and food, medical and hygiene kits, supplies for people.
The money you see those supplies people. And the money, those supplies, that's what you do on the ground, right? Is get those supplies to the people.
This is as something here, yeah, something urgent, as an urgent response, because there are people being displaced and away from their homes. And they don't have their basic needs, so we have to provide them with their basic needs. What we hope as Islamic Relief that this stop, the situation, the current situation stops, and start delivering people with more assistance and help them in rebuilding their homes and renovate their homes. So, as an urgent need, people are in need of a better healthcare service and with food, because people are already poor, and they during the last year they had difficulty in affording proper food for their families. So imagine what is going on after being poor, and being suffering from different shortages of food, of medicine, of fuel, of cooking gas. In addition to all this, they are now suffering from the danger of being killed. So the demand is very high, and any donation and any help coming to a people is very important.
Well, Hatim, I want to thank you for, I know you're under extreme circumstance there, from the people of Hamilton and Canada and myself. We wish you the best of luck and take care of yourself. We'll make sure that your story and what is happening to the Gazans will be heard by as many Canadians as possible. And I mean, I know it's not a great relief from the bombs, but I can tell you last weekend and this weekend, tens of thousands of Canadians from across the country marched in solidarity with the people in Gaza. But Christian, Jew, and Muslims marching together. And we want this war to stop. We want the people of Gaza to be treated like human beings. So thank you for being on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Okay. Goodbye and take care. That was Hatim Shirav, staff for Islamic Relief in Gaza. We're going to take a quick 30-second break, and then we'll be back to our guests. And welcome back to Unusual Sources. This is Peter Leibovich on CFMU 93.3. We're back with our guest, Dr. Yasir Hadira, on the Board of Directors of Islamic Relief, and Shaila Kipria, who's the Executive Director of Islamic Relief. So we were just listening to Hatim tell us about some of the immediate needs of the people of Gaza, of healthcare and food and basically all the things you need to stay alive. Shaila, is what's being done in this country to try and get to accumulate goods and to get them to the Gaza?
Thanks, Peter. That's a really good question. Actually, our volunteers and our office have come together in full force, basically sending out a plea to organizations to donate money for the victims of Gaza. We've gone out to individuals. Mosques have been wonderful in sending in checks for the victims. And what we've found is that we've been asked to come out and speak at different places. So, Peter, when you ask what are we doing, one of the things we're doing this Saturday, we're having a teach-in at OISE, and that's at 3 p.m. And if people would like to come out to Toronto, to OISE, to learn about what's going on with Islamic Relief and humanitarian aid, they're welcome to come to the session. Also, in the Steel Workers Hall, also in Toronto, on Cecil Street at 8 p.m., Dr. Yasir Hadira will be speaking to an audience about, once again, what is going on and how to actually help, you know, as Canadians. And the next day, on Sunday, at Palestine House in Mississauga, 3 p.m., we're going to be having a fundraiser in collaboration with other organizations. So that's what we've been doing. We've been out there full force with the volunteers, accepting donations, accepting volunteers, available to speak at any event about the humanitarian aid that Islamic Relief is providing.
If somebody wants, listening to this program, wants to donate to Islamic Relief, how would they do that? How would they send it to you? Can they go on web? Can they do it through credit cards? How can they do it?
They can do it in every possible way. They can donate online easily by going to www.islamicreliefcanada.org. So it's one word, www.islamicreliefcanada.org. And I'm assuming you're going to have that on your website. And also our phone number is 1-877-370-4722. Once again, 1-877-370-4722. They can also mail in checks. Our address is on the website. We take in cash as well. And everything basically is being sent over to for relief, for aid.
For Gaza. So at this moment in time, if people are concerned about Gaza, And that's why they're donating. They know that, that they could be assured that that's where the money is going at this point.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. The, I mean, donors, very clearly, when they go, they will see that online, they'll see that the campaign for Gaza, and if they are donating for that campaign, that's where their donations go.
Peter, I also want to emphasize, we have a daily update on BBC online. So Hatem, the individual, the staff you spoke to just earlier, he is updating everybody as daily as possible. So it could be every 2 days or every day about where the money is going, how it's being used, what's happening in Gaza.
A daily report of, in terms of what you're doing, which is amazing for a charity.
There is actually a text blog and there is a video blog, and both of them are carried on the BBC website, so people can follow
Happening. You just have to Google Hatem, H-A-T-E-M, and Google BBC on the same line, and you can, it comes up on the screen.
I guess that's with modern technology. It's pretty hard. I mean, no matter how much you try to hide the truth, it's harder nowadays to hide, to not to get the picture.
Yes, and I think for me, what I would like to highlight is the generosity and the response that we've gotten from people here. And I think this particular crisis has really hit home for a lot of us in that we are becoming more aware, and people are becoming more aware of the plight of the people of Gaza. It's not anything new by any means, but this is the fiercest bombardment that they have suffered in the last 30, 40 years, actually, since 1967. And so I think that it is important for people to become informed, to become aware. As we heard from Hatem, I mean, when you go and you deliver aid to the families that are suffering in Gaza, what they want more than anything else is for the bombs to stop coming down. One small detail that I keep mentioning because it really hit home for me is the first day of the bombardment was the first day of, it's supposed to be, the first day of exams for school children. So you can just imagine these school children ready to go and sit for their tests, and they go to their schools, and that's what they're hearing all around them. And this is a huge impact on these children. So I think it's important for Canadians to become aware, to become informed, and to continue the humanitarian support for the people of Gaza.
Yeah, you made a point, and I know you're with a relief organization. I can be much more partisan, but you made a point at the beginning that the one unique part of this bombardment of a population is the fact that they have nowhere to run. They're surrounded on all, so they have a wall that separates them from Egypt, and they're not allowed out. They have the sea on the other side, and then the two other areas are controlled by the Israelis. So this is, there's no refugees in this war because there's no place for a refugee to go.
Yes.
And I mean, it seems to me that the Canadian government should be, you know, demanding, this is like a captured population that is just a target. It's like shooting duck in a bathtub.
Well, I mean, as you pointed out, I'm working with a relief organization, so I'm focused on the humanitarian side of it. But this particular comment I have heard now from a CNN reporter, and I have heard it from doctors working in Gaza. And you can't really, as you know, again, just looking at it from the humanitarian angle, you cannot help but stop and think about the plight of 1.5 million people that are undergoing this kind of attack day by day. And they are suffering. People are dying. People are getting injured. And I think we, as Canadians, have to do whatever it is that we can to become informed, become aware, help them ourselves, but also ask our government to help stop the violence.
That's for sure. Just before we leave, can Shiloh, can you again tell people where they can go if they want to donate money or help, you know, accumulate relief and deliver relief to Gaza?
Anyone is welcome to check out our website. Once again, it's www.islamicreliefcanada.org. It's one word. People are welcome to drop by our office in Hamilton or call us at 1-877-370-4722. And believe it or not, Peter, we actually have a Facebook group with all the information on there. So all our contact info is there. Just type up Islamic Relief Canada and they can definitely contact contact us through Facebook as well. We're pretty active on there.
Okay, that's great. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Yasser Hadera.
Hadera,
I got it right the first time.
Thank you so much for having us on.
And Shaila Kipria. And hopefully by next week, we won't have to continue a live coverage of this war. The bombs will stop dropping. I don't know. I understand the politics is going to be a little bit more complicated, but at least the bombs would stop dropping, hopefully by next week. But thank you for being on this program. We'll keep telling people about the wonderful work of Islamic Relief, and if anybody wants to help Gaza, we'll get them to your website. So thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.